Items 4, 5, 6, and 7, which will be heard concurrently pertaining to 60/70 Wellams Lane. If I get the clerk to read the items into the record.
The first item, number 4, is an application for approval of a zoning agreement to delete the existing zoning agreement to allow the construction of 331 units of multiple family dwellings at 6070 Wellams Lane under file ZAA 20 of 2008 in accordance with the Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Namely, item 5 being the application for a subdivision to move the existing cul-de-sac at the end of Wellams Lane further to the east to accommodate a proposed multiple family dwelling under file DAS 30 of 2008. Item 6, an application to vary the RMFL residential multifamily large dimensional standards of zoning bylaw number 200 of 2006 for the construction of two multiple family dwelling complexes with a two-level accessory parking structure to permit a front yard of 8 feet, a building height for proposed building 1 of 197 feet, and a fence height of 8 feet under file DAV 142644-2008D. And lastly, item 7 being an application for a proposed opening and closing of the terminus of Wellams Lane, the proposed opening of Chief Peguis Trail in the north side of Wellams Lane west of Appleton Street, and the proposed opening of the public lane north of Esser Avenue at Kildonan Drive under file DAOC 3 of 2008.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of, as you can tell, the room is full and virtually everybody here is for these items. I think it's safe to say. So we have a lot of people registered. I want to stress that, to be fair, the process, the applicant has an opportunity to speak at the beginning and then has an opportunity to return at the end of all the delegations to respond to any issues that he or she may have heard. I want to stress as well that if you've heard the same arguments, if you're in favor or opposed or in opposition or for information, if you heard the same arguments put forward before, you don't necessarily have to repeat them. You can just wave your arm and indicate that you just like to be registered in support or registered in opposition or registered for information. You don't necessarily have to speak. I would request that to be respectful to everybody here and so that you're not here till 3 or 4 in the morning, that you limit your comments to, we're going to try to keep it to 10 minutes each, just to allow everybody to have an opportunity to speak for those who wish to speak. So I'd like to invite up the applicant first and foremost to start this process. And the applicant is W.K. Rankin, Cooper Rankin. Hi. Could you come forward, please? Thanks. Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you need to get them up. Start our process. If you could state your name and address for the record, just for everybody else to know as well, since these happenings are being recorded.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Keith Rankin. I'm an architect. Our company prepared the application that we're going to review tonight, and the drawings that I can place on the easels. I guess I may choose to move the easels if that's
right. Fine.
All right.
Yeah. And your address, sir?
103-7 Evergreen Place.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I had an opportunity to read the report. It was posted on the city's website Friday, so it was the first opportunity I had to have a look at it. But I've had a chance to review it over the weekend. And I believe I understand it. I note that the application, the recommendation from the city recommends approval, but I fully understand it's not nearly as simple as that, and that's why we're all here tonight to have this discussion. There are some conditions in the report that concern us, but only two, really. With your permission, I'd like to leave those probably to the end of the presentation to go over, because I think time is better spent dealing with the other issues that are on everyone else's mind. With your permission, I guess I'd like to place two exhibits on this easel, and then I have as well some reductions of the same information which I could distribute to you so that you can all see them better.
Sure.
Walk over and do that.
See that, Councilor Thomas?
No.
Can you change the angle just? Oh, okay, sure. Oh, okay.
Well, how about if you just turn that slightly? I can't see either of them.
I think
maybe just the model. We need one for the file.
Here. Because as many people in the audience as possible need.
Okay. You just stay there, John. Stand there and hold. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, go ahead. We've got the drawings here. Okay. Hey, it's much better. Now you people don't have to look at us either, eh? So that's even better. All right, sir. Continue on. We won't count that as part of your time to set up.
So. No, thank you. Yeah. I'm assuming everyone at present has read the same package of reports that I began referring to, so I need not go through them in any detail or talk about the whole architectural nuance of this thing. But if I could comment on just a few things. In a nutshell, we're all aware here that the project has two zoning categories on the land. One is Park Reserve and the other is RMFL. The Park Reserve portion extends along the river and as well along the southerly boundaries of our site, and the RMFL property is the balance. It has a maximum permitted density of 864 apartments and a maximum permitted height of 150 feet. The site currently supports 473 apartments, and this proposal contemplates adding an additional 331. That would bring the total to 804 apartment units, still well below the maximum, but nonetheless, it is a large project. There's underground parking that comes with the project, and it connects to the existing underground parking garages, and the parking complies. The westerly building on the site, the one closest to the river, utilizes a sort of a stepped height profile. It's 19 stories in height, followed by 21 in the center, followed by 15 on the east side. And the easterly building, the smaller of the two, is 13 stories on either side of a 15-story central core. We're asking for height and yard variances for the westerly building only, the taller of the two. None are required for the easterly building. The one or two comments, if I could, about the planning. The challenge, I think, that we always face in multifamily developments like this that are on properties that are mature and surrounded by other existing residential dwelling units as well as apartment units on the same property is to try to see that we do whatever's possible to minimize the impact on the adjacent buildings and on the adjacent neighborhood, while at the same time we do have, won't surprise you to know, an obligation to satisfy a genuine market demand for these units, so we need to research that and find that we've drawn the right balance point. In order to get comfortable with that procedure, our strategy has always been to develop multiple site plans, and that's what we did on this property. I didn't bring them, but I assure you there's over 30 of them, and we test buildings of different heights, ranging from townhouses to 2- and 3-story and 4- and 5-story buildings, and we test them in different configurations. And in so doing, we get a strong feel for the impact and the consequences of these buildings on other sites and whether or not we're able to satisfy the market demands. It becomes obvious pretty quickly that buildings that are lower in height consume a lot more land, destroy a lot more landscaping, and are more difficult to achieve some of the other objectives we would have about maintaining views from the existing buildings and building structures themselves. The one thing that we found fairly quickly on is that if the building structures that we proposed were isolated in as much as possible to the north side of the site, it had some advantages for us in that it increased or it maximizes separation between the existing buildings and the proposed new buildings. And we have no northerly neighbor to speak of because we're sharing that common property line with the Chief Peguis Trail Bridge property. And part of this proposal that you referred to in the opening remarks, we are acquiring from the City of Winnipeg a portion of the Wellams Lane right-of-way, which allows us to site these buildings even further north, which therefore increases the separation, and it produces a plan in which there's no shadowing impact to any of the adjacent buildings because the buildings are sited further north than all of our neighbors. A couple of other things, just to quickly point out that are visible on those renderings there, is that the buildings step down in height as you travel from the west to the east, which provides a more sensitive, I think, approach as you get closer to the single-family neighborhood to the east. And the oblique angle that we establish for the most easterly building, it deliberately sites views in a northeasterly direction and over the Wellams Lane properties instead of over the Tamarind Drive properties. As part of this whole process, we did hold a public information meeting. We sent out 600 hand-delivered invitations to the neighborhood, to the residents of Esser Drive, Kildonan Drive, Wellams Lane itself, Tamarind Drive, and of course all the residents of the Edgewood Estates buildings themselves. We provided large drawings like this, which included building plans, floor plans, garage plans, and a lot of other information as well as the information that you're looking at. We asked people to sign in. 197 signatures we attracted at that meeting. Some of those signatures were for more than one person. Someone is signing on behalf of themselves and their spouse, and a few people did decline to sign, but I would estimate 250 people attended over about a 3-hour period. I had an opportunity to speak to many of those people. I'm sure many of them are here this evening. And the conversation, for the most part, had to do with traffic. They were concerned about traffic. They felt a building of this size would generate more traffic, and there should be some consequences to deal with that. And I'm joined here this evening by Mr. David Cron to my life. David is a to my right. David's a principal with Dillon Consulting. Dillon did the traffic impact study reports for this project, and I think after other people speak, and if we can identify some traffic related concerns, perhaps David is able to help us all through that process. But traffic was one of the issues. There was some comment on green space or the loss of green space. Yeah. Many people were very interested in knowing what the separation distance was between the two buildings, the existing buildings and the two new buildings, rather. I was able to generalize about it at that meeting, but I wasn't able to tell them specifically. I have calculated it since then. I can tell you what it is. A great many people really wanted specific information about the suites themselves. They wanted to know better what the sizes were, what the rental weights were, and when they would become available. Everyone wanted to know when construction might commence and how long it might take. Just quickly on separations, if you measured the distance between the north-south, in a north-south direction between the buildings, the separation distances are 200 feet and 308 feet, respectively. It's quite large. If you measure it in an east-west direction, the distances are 285 feet, and they're diminishing because of the tapered angle of the building, but they average about 146. And if you measure the distances from the Tamarin Drive property line in our building, at its closest, it's 85 feet, and its largest, it's 170 feet. These are as large as we are able to make them, and they're quite generous. The required separation setback along the Tamarin Drive property line is about 30 feet, and we're providing somewhere between 85 and 170. For those who are worried about green space, the project, as it stands today, has a little over 80%, almost 81% of the property is landscaped, and it's not in small part because of the park reserve presence on the property. Because of the land swap that we're engaging in with the city and the ability to push this development as far north as possible, the green space reduction is about 5.5%, and so after this project concludes, if it's successful, there's still going to be 75.5% of surface landscaping. It's really a remarkably high ratio when you look at other multifamily developments. There's a few housekeeping items, if I could. The City of Winnipeg asked us to close the access off of Kildonan Drive, which is used for garbage access. This has, I believe, been a source of concern to the residents of Esser Drive and Kildonan Drive, because garbage vehicle trucks will drive down Esser and then turn north on Kildonan to get access to the garbage dumpster location at the Edgewood Drive Estates, and it's become, or could become, a sort of an unsightly area, and the traffic is an annoyance, I think, to the residents of the street nearby. Since the new project connects at the main floor and both garage levels, we're able to relocate the whole service connection to a new housed service court off of the Wellams Lane cul-de-sac, so we're able to close the access off of Kildonan Drive. One quick thing about entry and access to the buildings. The existing Edgewood Estates buildings are accessible by driving up a very steep ramp and around about a loop and driving back down the steep ramp. The heights that are available at the top of the ramp prohibit large vehicles from gaining access, so emergency vehicles and ambulances aren't able to pull in there. Neither are a small bus kind of traffic that is used, and so the residents of the existing building need to walk down a ramp or a set of stairs to grade level to get access to some of these selected vehicles. It's only conventional automobiles that can easily deal with it. Again, since everything is now connected, you can see from our site plan drawing and from the perspective that we have outside access ramps up to the new entrances to the two new buildings, and there'll be no reduction. All vehicles, emergency vehicles, fire trucks, everyone will be able to drive up at that level. The building itself is going to, where humanly possible, utilize as much green technology as we're able to do. The owners are committed to geothermal heating for this project. There's going to be solar capture and cooling. We're going to use a lot of local stone and masonry exterior cladding materials. It's going to make extensive use of green technology and recycled materials on the interior of the building. The business end of this project is significant, I think. The proposal is going to have a market construction value in excess of $50 million. And it will just begin to satisfy an existing and growing demand, I think, for high-quality rental accommodation in this area. The Edgewood Estates complex has a current waiting list that now exceeds 473 requests. Just checked on that this afternoon. 473 requests for apartments. That's likely 875 people who are interested in apartments in the new building proposal or the existing building proposal. The list is growing since the announcement of this proposal, and we're naturally pleased by that because it's a strong market indication of the acceptance of the idea. The proposal itself will generate annual property taxes in excess of $600,000 annually. I think it's scheduled to be somewhere around $680,000. We think, it won't surprise you to know, that the project has real merit and it provides substantial benefits for the neighborhood and for the city. We'd like to think it deserves your support. We know that it's a project of some concern to the neighborhood, and that's why we're scheduled here tonight at a special meeting. I believe what we're likely to hear as people come forward are some of the same concerns that I mentioned to you earlier, traffic concerns and grass and separation and views from the building. We have an open mind. If there's something further that we're able to do, we will. But as I mentioned to you earlier, we try to find a balance where possible that acknowledges the concerns that the neighborhood would have and see to it that we have high quality responses to it and do a responsible planning undertaking at the same time. I know that there's a bunch of people who'd like to speak tonight. With your permission, I could stand aside if you like and, as you say, reserve the right to comment again on rebuttal for clarification after it's over. And Mr. Cron can join me at that time and he can comment and help us through some of the traffic-related issues.
Okay. Councillor Thomas, I think, has a question.
Sure.
Mr. Thomas?
I will probably have a lot more questions after I hear from the delegations, but one of the things that struck me here when I was looking at the plans was no bicycle path. Now, I was aware that at the end of Kildonan Drive, there had been plans by the city to have a bicycle path that go up from Kildonan Drive that's supposed to go a Riverbank Parkway kind of concept, and the apartment blocks to the north of the Chief Peguis Trail have been asked to make sure that they've accommodated for a bicycle path in the area. Were you asked to accommodate for a bicycle
yes,
path?
Yes, we were, yeah.
Okay. But you weren't asked to install it just to accommodate it?
No, it was when I mentioned earlier that there's a condition, a list of conditions the city asks us to sign as part of a development agreement, and there are two conditions on there that we like to talk to you specifically about. One of them is exactly that path. I'll just spend 1 minute on the subject now. There was, I'm not personally familiar with this, but I believe something in the order of 8 or 9 years ago, there was an arson fire at the Edgewood Estates complex. I'm not sure it was ever resolved, but I believe young people tailgated a vehicle into the garage in the evening or at night, and they set fire to 60 automobiles, 60. It was a significant amount of damage. Luckily, no loss of life, but it was a serious affair, and the owners at that time took steps to upgrade the security measures and introduced round-the-clock surveillance, and I think that's probably been scheduled back at this time, but it's been on their mind, and accordingly they've asked that it be on our mind as well. The concept for the siting of this building, in addition to everything I said before, was that it was to be developed as a gated community. And the owners have real reservations about a path along the riverbank which breaches their security. And that when you look at the way the
eyes and ears are the best security, and may I suggest to you that having a lit bicycle path is probably the best protection that people can have from someone sneaking onto a piece of property and
It's
eyes and ears in the community. And I don't see any gates there. You haven't asked for a gated community. So I'm glad I asked the question, because your answer quite aggravated me.
Well, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
Councillor Thomas, I understand. I wasn't saying that we're not prepared to proceed with the path. What I had meant to say, I was carrying on to say that, is that the security concerns that the owners have are not insignificant, and the path would have to be accompanied by lighting, fencing, and a way of managing access to the property. When you read the condition, you'll see it says nothing about that. And that's where I was going to suggest that we need new language on one of those items to reflect exactly that.
Okay.
So if I understand you correctly, you're not opposed to the access off of...
Well, the owners are, to tell you the truth, but I'm an architect. I have always kind of thought that the riverbank is a great resource to be used and shared. But I have to seek your assistance on this, because it needs to be managed in a fashion that allows them to maintain security, and lighting and fencing will be part of that undertaking.
Okay. Councillor Thomas, do you have any other questions?
No, but I did like to say that one of the things I was quite pleased to see in your presentation is that you were looking at geothermal and solar capture. So I was quite pleased about that.
Okay.
But
thank
I'll
you.
Just wait and hear what
Councilor Berwadi
has to say, and then I'll probably have more questions.
Okay, Councilor Berwadi has a question.
Thank you for your presentation. Last year you made an application, and there was significant public opposition registered for the public hearing. It was reported in the media, and the application was subsequently withdrawn. What has changed to address the residents' concerns since last year's report? I don't see much here. It's the same number of units, the traffic concerns, it's not there.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is not, we're not here to cheer one side or the other. There has to be a bit of decorum. So if you could please abstain from the rounds of applause, and I know you have your strong feelings, but we're trying to have a room of decorum. So yes. The question, sorry.
Is it gone? Yeah, the application was made about, I think, last September, if I'm not mistaken. It was for a similar sized building. It was a 35-story building, much smaller footprint than we're talking about today, sited in approximately the same general locations on the northern extremities of the property. The owners took the view that they would rather develop a project which had an opportunity to be phased. They came to the view that a single structure of 35 stories would take so long to build, and therefore, accordingly, their opportunity to begin the lease up would occur at a later date once they reassessed the kind of demand that we see for new suites, new high-quality rental suites. They wanted to alter the footprint of the building so as to provide an opportunity to deliver suites at an earlier date. What's able to happen here likely is the first building would be the most westerly of the two, and we expect suites could be made available as soon as 16 or 17 months after construction commences. Suites in the other building would follow at a later date. We think the entire procedure is something in the order of a three-year experience. And the things that have been changed or adjusted include some of the things that I'd mentioned. We have talked endlessly about the riverbank path, and we've moved, I think, our position on that to one which is, I think, cooperative. We've agreed to acquire land from the city, which allows us to site the buildings further north, which is a more favorable siting from everybody. And we've agreed as well to make available to the city land along the south property line that allows them to extend the public lane straight through to Kildonan Drive. You may know right now that people who drive down the public lane trespass actually across the Edgewood Estates property. That's private property that they're driving over, and it's been an awkward situation, I think, for 35 or maybe 40 years. So we're I think, assisting in cleaning up a number of these undertakings.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, with the application being withdrawn last year was more to do about having vacant units, not so much about community concerns.
I think the opposition wasn't lost on us, of course. I'm sure that had some influence on it, but it caused them to reevaluate what they wanted to do. We always expected that there would be high public interest in this, and it's likely exactly what you're seeing this evening.
Since the public open house and the comments you would have received at that time, what have you done to address concerns that were raised at that time?
Physically, the plans remain the same. We've undertaken to confirm some calculations, some distances, some dimensions, and provide the information that I wasn't able to provide at that meeting. The meeting was fairly balanced, Councillor. It was a mixture of people who did express concerns about traffic and interruption of the views, I suppose, that they'd enjoyed over a number of years, but there was equal, if not greater, interest in what suites would be available, when they'd be available, and what they might cost. I was pleasantly surprised, frankly, to see that. I thought it would be a meeting which was far more focused on protecting the status quo, but I didn't find that to be the case.
Okay. The item you were mentioning there shows up in page 16 of this report, item number 7, that the developer be required to construct and enter into an easement agreement with the city for a 3.5-meter public multi-use granular pathway within a 5-meter easement along the riverbank, above the top of the bank, along the full length of the planned area, at a location satisfactory to the city. That's what Councillor Thomas was referring to.
Yes.
I believe you were referring to.
Yes, it is.
So you would suggest that a more appropriate standard would be for the developer in this case to address green space and security concerns. You guys would be willing to pay for an asphalt path, ornamental lighting, improved landscaping, and security issues that you were addressing.
I need to have the clause modified because right now it doesn't provide the owners an opportunity to participate in the design and the development of the path. It says that we should provide an easement and that we should construct an open gravel path on the property at a location to be determined to the satisfaction of the city. We want it to be mutually satisfactory. We're not ducking it, but the way it's written right now doesn't provide an opportunity for that participation at all.
Okay.
And we do have legitimate, serious security concerns that we'd like to have form part of that. So we're suggesting new language for that item. And when I started out discussing this with you, I said there were two clauses that we wanted to discuss with you and get amended. That's one of them.
Okay.
The last time that clause appeared last year at the September application, it used very similar language, but it said, I believe, that we would provide an easement for the construction of a path. Now it says we're going to provide an easement and we're going to construct the path. So it does seem to be escalating at the same time as we're trying to find an answer to it. And I need to point it out to you because it has the ability to place a large important project, I think, at risk. And I don't think this kind of path business should be escalated to a level where it can defeat a project like this. The owner's quite serious about it.
I mean, if you're serious about the community and you're spending $50 million on a project like this, I mean,
doing a proper debate, Councillor.
Anyway.
Question and answer.
Sure.
So the second objection is the issue of the cost of the path. Is that what I take?
Find a satisfactory answer to that. We just need to see that we have participation in
what was the second issue that you had?
The second one had to do with the public lane it's on our south property line. It's mm-hmm. it's shared by the residents of SR Avenue, or SR Drive. Mm-hmm. There's a short story that goes with this, but that public lane travels from the east to the west, and then it has a north-south leg that travels through to SR Drive. That north-south leg, if you look at the examine the condition on the ground, doesn't exist. The north-south leg has been leased some time ago to a private property owner, and he's fenced it and has it landscaped. And so the city has effectively leased the outlet of the public lane. And I believe quite some time ago, I don't know how long ago, but it might have been for a long, long time. So as a result of that, people who travel in a westerly direction down this lane aren't able to drive, of course, through his yard because it's been fenced and cordoned off, so they instead drive over property owned by Edgewood Estates. That, I mean, it's been for about 30 or 40 years, it's been actually a trespass of vehicles cross the property. We needed to see if we could find some way of reconciling that, and so we entered into an understanding with the city in which we'd make that land available. The transaction was supposed to be a conventional real estate transaction in which the city would acquire this land necessary to extend the lane. We would acquire land at the north side of the property that was part of the Wellams Lane right away. The real estate department would place values on both of these parcels, and there might be an exchange of money one way or the other, but it would be resolved in that fashion. That does not seem to be consistent with the way the item is written. I think it's item number 7. What it says, I believe, is that we'll make the land available to the city and that we will construct a lane at our expense. I just have to tell you, councilors, I believe that's not fair. The city is the author of its own misfortune here, I think. A number of years ago, you leased the outlet to the lane to somebody else. Now you'd like us to kind of help you fix it, and we're prepared to do that. But what we'd like to do is make the land available to you, and the city can do as it chooses with the land. You can leave it alone right now. It's a passable gravel surface, I think. Or if the city chooses to upgrade the status of the lane to something else, it can do that on its own tax initiative. We just don't think it's fair that we provide the land and construct a new lane on your behalf. That's kind of what was behind my remark for both of those two conditions.
Okay. You had spoken at once, so I thought I might as well ask you what the second
one was. That's fine.
So. Okay, any other questions, councillors? Seeing none, thank you very much. We'll ask you back after all the other presentations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And also, Mr. Cron, thank you. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. Also registered in support is Walter Bartosz, 70 Wellams Lane. Walter, registered in support. Are you here today? Okay. You registered in just want to be recognized as registered in support? Okay. Again, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, you don't necessarily need to speak if you've heard a lot of arguments in favor or against and your issues have been covered. Then that's you can just indicate by registering. Carl and Audrey Felsen, registered in support. Registered in support. Okay, this is your only time for comments. So you're registering in support. Your name won't come up again. Okay. All right. Thanks. We got some for information in here. Sorry, you're registered for information. Sorry. Jerry Menards, registered in support. Jerry Menards, registered in support. No, must have gone home. Terry Patrician, 428 Hazelwell, registered in Hazeldale, registered in support. Okay, registrants, thank you. Sophie Turco, 60 Wellams, registered in support. Registered in support, thank you. At the office at 60 Wellams, Lucila Lontaggio, 6 Tamaran Drive, registered in support. Registered in support. Okay, thank you. Anybody else registered in support that I haven't read? That hasn't registered. Anybody else registered in support? Seeing none, I'm going to go to those registered in opposition now. And again, just to stress, we're trying to keep it to 10 minutes each. There may be questions, too, the councillors have afterwards. Valerie Larson, registered in opposition. Valerie Larson, registered in opposition. I don't see Valerie. Yeah, registered in opposition. Valerie Larson, registered in opposition. Okay, sir, thank you. Gordon Minog, I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering your name here. Registered in opposition. Okay, wish to register. Do you wish to speak, sir? Just register in opposition. Okay. Oh, you got microphones in the audience. That's great. State your name and address for the record, sir.
It's Gordon Minogue, 314 60 Willems Lane.
Okay.
And I don't got the head for this stuff you're doing here, but there's a few things I like to say. And as far as I'm concerned with this guy, he's looking for money. That's all he's looking for. Because I've lived there for 6 years now. And the first 3 years I was there, I had to walk through water to get to my car in an underground parkade.
Take your time.
First time I ever done this stuff.
No, take your time.
No, but it's, to me, he's destroying a good thing that's there now. You know, it's beautiful the way it is now. And you put in more stuff like that, you know what I mean? It's not like a park setting anymore. You know? And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Darlene Cherniak, 60 Wilms Lane, registered in opposition. Ms. Cherniak, are you here? I'll register in opposition. Okay, thanks. Just to register, you just wish to register in opposition? Okay. Clarence and Irene Wagner, register in opposition. You wish to register, just to register your names in opposition? Okay, thank you. Ruth Peddle and Jarrett Hall, registered in opposition on Esser Avenue. Register in opposition? Okay, thank you. If I don't see you jumping up to go to the microphone, I'm going to assume you're not wanting to speak. So Jim Graff, 60 Wellams Lane, register in opposition. Okay, thank you. Vern Gattos on Esser Avenue, register in opposition. Okay, please come forward to the microphone.
My name is Vern Gattos. I live at 148 Esser Avenue, and I've been around this kind of dog and pony show before. By the way, Lillian, it's always a pleasure to see you. I'm in opposition for a number of reasons. Number one, I have no reason to trust the development of it or the developers. There's been too many things in the past that have just not come through. I haven't seen anything here about any environmental concerns. I mean, that park space is a riparian buffer, which the city doesn't seem to want to recognize, but there's an amazing amount of at-risk or endangered species of wildlife through there, plus plant life. Corporate concern for the environment doesn't exist, whether that's a residential environment or a natural one, and that was proven clearly with the development of that credit union on Henderson Highway, 1366. They just destroyed perfect habitat land for no reason at all, for a parking lot. Now you want to stick these two buildings up. You know, there's a time and place for everything. This is not the place for it. And neither is it at the time. If you're concerned about your security, then don't build it there in the first place. There's nothing in there about riverbank restoration or anything like that, riverbank forest. Landscaping, you're talking about grass. The only thing that should be recommended there downtown is that no development should be done there, and that whatever grass space and open land is there should be have the natural riverbank forest allowed to recolonize itself in its natural state. That's the right thing to do. This development is nothing but greed and ego by people that you cannot trust, period. And I would consider your, maybe perhaps, Jeff, your political future on this, because this community gels very quickly. This, you don't want this to be your MacIver Avenue. You really don't. You're doing a good job so far. Don't blow it, but thank you.
Okay. Problem. Segrun Bailey, Roselawn Bay, register in opposition.
And the reason that we're opposing it is that we need to have that parkway, the bike path, preserved because the riverbank is public property And the Winnipeg is working on bike trails and walking trails for people in the city, and we need to be able to connect them all. And if this is made private property, then that connection is lost. It's a very important piece of our connectivity, and that's the reason that I'm opposed to it.
Okay. Mandy and, sorry, I should be asking if you guys have any questions as we go along here. So. Okay. All right. All right. Thanks. Mandy and Brian Vanderhoof, registered in opposition. Thank you. Carol Zook, William Zook, registered in opposition. Yeah.
Thanks. William Zook, 78 Tamarind Drive. I'm opposed because they're pushing more traffic along the lane or the side of the Willems Lane where there's, not Willems Lane, Tamarind Drive, and they're moving the traffic right along the back lane of the, or the lane, no, there won't be any peace in the backyards of those people living there. The other thing is that, I don't know if they're aware, but there's a main sewer line going under the river to the treatment plant on Tamarind or Willems Lane. I don't know if they can build over that. The other thing is that they're putting on a small footprint a big, huge complex that is going to have more, probably three times as much impact as what is there now because of the traffic concerns that I have. We have parking along Willems Lane now because people don't want to pay the parking, underground parking. I don't know if there's parking, the on-surface parking is going to go. So, and we also have permanent parking on Tamarind Drive now from that apartment. So I don't know how they can say that there won't be any impact on the area. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Zook. Hold on, Mr. Zook. There's a question here from one of the counselors. Go ahead, Councillor Thomas.
You say you have permanent parking along Wellens Lane now?
There's some vehicles that park permanently there, but we don't want to change to an hourly parking system there.
Are you talking about the people who live in the existing towers or people who live on the...
In the existing towers.
In the existing towers and they're permanently parking on the street.
That's right. On Tamarind Drive.
On Tamarind?
And also Willems Lane.
Okay.
Mr. Zook, there's another question from Councillor. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
You're getting a bit of exercise. Councillor Marwadi has another question.
Would you believe that there would be additional vehicles? I mean, obviously the underground parking lot would be a paid lot. Would you think there would be more people parking on Tamarind because these new towers are a lot closer to Tamarind?
They're moving the loop closer to the back of the houses there, and there's 15 parking spots along that side of Willems.
Okay.
So that has to accommodate what wasn't there before.
Sorry to make you come back down. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. James Sutherland, registered in opposition, Esser Avenue. Registered in opposition? Okay, thank you. Joanne Thompson, registered on Litz Place, registered in opposition.
My name is Joanne Thompson. I live at 19 Litz Place. I just want, the first thing I want to say is I never did receive an invitation to the public hearing that the architect, or I would have attended. I realized that the gentleman that accompanied the architect was going to speak about traffic later, but I have not heard one word said about the K-9 school that is at the corner of Willems Lane and Henderson Highway. It is an elementary school. Lots of people don't realize that there are elementary children there. We have a huge problem with kids crossing the street now. I have a child in grade 8 and a child in grade 5. This is the first year I have let them walk home alone.
because traffic is horrendous on Wellams Lane. If you sit there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's frightening. Also, in our area, I don't know if people are aware, if we increase the traffic, and if we have people trying to avoid the lights at Wellams and Henderson Highway, they will cut down Appleton and up Litz or Esser. There is no sidewalk on Appleton Street. There is no sidewalk on Litz. That is a huge concern. Thank you very much for your time.
Any questions? Any questions? Mrs. D. Earl and Jim Sutherland of Esser in opposition. Register in opposition. Okay, please come forward. Did I say Jim Sutherland? Yeah, he's got twice.
Thank you very much. I'm a very concerned citizen. I believe I'm one of the eldest in North Kildonan. I'm 86 years of age. And the reason I think most of the older people live in that area is, as I see it, and I could be wrong, but this is one of my points, they moved out there because of the tranquility of the area. The great, great tranquility, which is a must for older people and younger ones. Today, the younger ones need it more than the older ones. So that's my point. Tranquility, plus the point was made of the school. I've petitioned 1,000 names when they wanted to build the Norvilla, right where the McDonald's is. And I said, and the rest of the neighbors said, well, why there? Why do we want a beer house where all the young children have to cross by 2 times, 3 times, maybe 4 a day and smell the booze coming out of that place? I said, what's wrong with building further north? And sure enough, that's council saw the same thing, and they voted against it. And Norvilla was put in the right spot, not the wrong spot, as this man's wanting to do with his apartment buildings. That's my main problem.
Thank you. Valerie Earle of Ray Crescent, register in opposition. Register in opposition, thank you. Ismael Lontajo of Tamarand, register in opposition. Register in opposition, you'd like to speak?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
My name is Ismael. I live in 6 Tamarind Drive. I just lived there like 3 years ago, I think in 2005, because this is a nice place, community. And the reason I disagree to get the building, because it's like I'm just only concerned about my place. Like, it's going to be have no privacy in my place anymore. And besides, it's been only like away 150 feet from my property. If they're going to do some any structure, noise and everything, I believe probably it's going to be damaged in my foundation for my house. And I know I'm aware of that because I have a friend of mine also that when they do the structure, they break everything with foundation in my place. And that's it. It's not going to be also safe for my kid.
Which property is yours, sir?
I'm in 6 Tamarind Drive.
Where is that, though?
Right second from Wellams Lane.
So you're the second lot in from Wellams
Yes,
Lane? Your backyard would
in
face
the backyard, yeah.
Would face the parking lot. Okay.
I'm really concerned about my house, my foundation, and the value of my place.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Thank you. I've given up trying to control you a lot. But as long as we're respectful, that's the important thing. Ole and June Helston Register in opposition.
Thank you. My name is Ole, and this is my wife, June Elston. We live on Wellams Lane, and
192 Wellams Lane?
Yes.
Okay.
192. And I have many concerns. Already the issue of the school has been raised now. My children graduated to John Pritchett School, so they are no longer here. But I am concerned for the children in our neighborhood because, remember, the expressway is going to be extended now. So there's going to be a lot of traffic turning onto Henderson from the expressway. We are going to have a very busy Wellams Lane with a McDonald's and a school. So the school is going to be bounded by two major arteries. And I think we are asking for trouble for the children, and I'm really worried. While I'm on traffic, I always also want to say to you, even today, if you're traveling north on Henderson Highway and you want to turn onto Wellams Lane and you're making a left turn, sometimes it takes several lights, even though there is a turn lane by McDonald's, but traffic backs up past the lights and way down Henderson Highway. I can just imagine when there are more cars that have to turn left, and also with the bridge, because you see when you're making a left turn, the cars that turn onto the Chief Pegwas Expressway, they use the same lane until you come up to McDonald's. Then you get your lane, but you have to wait for all the other cars, so it's going to be a real long wait. As a homeowner, I also have a concern about the sewer system. Can the sewer system handle so many more suites, so many more people? Can I get some assurance from the city in writing that if you know that my sewer isn't going to back up? Another concern I have is I have lived at 192 Wellams Lane for 30 years. You know, I worked hard in my life, as did my wife, for 45 years, and this is what we accomplished. We paid off our home. We don't have a mortgage. Now, I'm told by a lawyer friend of mine that the value of my property is going to be drastically reduced. And I'm sure that's the way it is with other properties. Is the city prepared to compensate me? This is a real concern. You know, this is what I worked for all my life. And all of a sudden, instead of having a home that costs maybe $200,000, maybe it's going to be worth $150,000. When somewhere down the line that I want to sell the home because I'm now ready to retire. This is a real, real big concern. And I know you're going to hear some unbelievable traffic results from the gentleman that is consultant. But, you know, having lived there for 30 years, trying to back out into Wellams Lane is not easy at times, I can tell you. And there were so many more cars on the street, it's going to be a real problem. I know that my wife probably has a few things to say, too. So, you know, maybe I should turn it over to her, too. Thank you.
Well, okay, this is the better half. He's covered most of the stuff that I was concerned with as well. However, one of the things no one has really covered is the height restrictions. Do we have any height restrictions in Winnipeg? Because those houses on Tamarind Drive are going to be shadowed. Like, if you have a backyard facing that, you're going to have nothing but shadow in the backyard for a good portion of the afternoon because the sun sets in the west. So I'm glad I live further down the road, but for those guys that live closer to the apartments, they're going to have a problem. You know, I did some stuff on the internet, and this apartment block is supposed to be 197 feet tall. In a lot of other cities, they have height restrictions in residential areas, big, oldie, less than 100 feet. So why do we have a skyscraper, quotation mark, apartment block in our area? We are just so lucky. There were a couple of other questions, mostly safety issues because of the kids. I live basically across the street from Wellams Lane, schoolyard. And every day, there are cars parked to pick up their kids. There are kids running around back and forth because, oh, mom's here to pick me up. They don't look where they're going. They run across the street. And with 300 more cars, you're going to have a lot more traffic, and you're going to have a lot more accidents, and you're going to have a lot more fatalities, basically. That's all I really had to say, I think.
One second. Councillor Brawadi has a question.
Actually, a comment, June.
Yes.
Regarding your questions regarding what are the height restrictions, what are the rules between, you know, multifamily, high capacity, you know, bordering single family, I trust that the area planner is taking notes here, and he can address those issues following the public presentations.
Yes, because what I read, for example, like Berlin, Paris, Ottawa, Montreal, Victoria and Vancouver, for example, have height restrictions on their houses or apartment blocks, and what you can, how high you can go in certain areas. There's a lot of other ones, but I didn't bother to talk about them.
Just to add to what June said for 1 second, if I may, we have many, many cars parked on Williams Lane where the parents pick up the children, and with so much more traffic now that's going to be on Williams Lane, I wonder where those cars are going to go. After all, you know, they are there to pick up the children, and you can't really blame them for picking up their kids. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Judy Stanko, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, thank you. David Harris on Klaus Bay, registered in opposition.
Dave Harris, 38 Klaus Bay. I'm registering in opposition. I have a lot of concerns. A couple of them have come up just since I've been here. I wasn't too impressed with the way that they've decided to leave the traffic concerns until after we've all had a chance to speak. We have no way of then, you know, making any salient points to their facts because they speak at the end with that. From what I understood from what you were talking about, they're going to open up Appleton to Chief Pegos Trail, which is going to cause a lot of traffic down Appleton. We've already heard that there's no sidewalks there. I walk my dog around the neighborhood daily. So does my wife. I'm a little concerned that there's going to be a lot of traffic driving on those streets. No sidewalks, extra cars coming down Wellams and all the other streets.
The Appleton is not being opened up. Appleton is not. Is it being opened up to Chief Pegos Trail? Is that?
Not that I know of, that's the first. No, not a part of this application. What's being opened is that rear public lane to connect to Kedolnan Drive at the south end.
Okay.
And relocation.
Just to clarify, yeah.
No, that's good. Thank you for clarifying that. That's actually one of the reasons I wish the traffic guy had spoken prior to all of our questions. We have absolutely no way of rebutting any of their supposed facts because we haven't heard them yet. I'd also just like to say that I don't like the idea of proposing the 35-story building, pulling out of it at the last second and then coming back with two that equal up to larger size than that. It just seems a little bit shady. And I'm also not too impressed that the owners themselves didn't decide to show up. I know they're from out of town. That personally doesn't bother me. I know it bothers some. But I would have liked to have seen the actual owners coming to present their case rather than just their architects or whatever.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. Any questions? Paul Rodriguez, Tamarind Drive. Paul, registered in opposition. Thank you. Kim and Randy Hawkins, 157 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition.
Councillors, my wife and I bought a property 6 years ago under the understanding that there was going to be any construction in this area. We take a look at the size of the property. I've been in construction for 35 years. I see the army of trucks, cement trucks, piling. Have you even taken a look at the infrastructure to see? 2 years ago, we had a pothole right in the very front on Wellams Lane. Like, is it really even manageable to put that kind of force into the fact? Also, these guys are going to leave us with a huge amount of traffic that we're in full opposition for. Thank you.
Keith Miklash, Litz Place, registered in opposition. Okay, thank you. Gerald Hildebrand, Appleton Street, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, thank you. Robert Bruce, Kildonan Drive, registered in opposition.
Hi, Robert Bruce, 1397 Kildonan Drive. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, what we're dealing here with is, I've lived there probably 20 years, 1397 Kildonan Drive, at the very end of Kildonan Drive and the SR back lane, or the Wellham shared lane. And we have had the garbage trucks, for instance, we're talking impact on the community. Although they've proposed to move the garbage over to another area, which would be good with me. I mean, I would like to see it closed off there permanently anyway, whether or not this application goes forward or not. I would hope it doesn't. But the impact that just the garbage has had, the garbage truck coming up and down the streets, I'll tell you, 4 o'clock in the morning. Quite often, 4 o'clock in the morning, they come down there. And after they do the dump, there's garbage that, you know, it can't all go into the truck. And being right next to them, it's, you know, kind of flutters onto my yard, and we go down and pick it up constantly. It's, I think I've been in touch with Ms. Jeff, your office, several times as a liaison between the apartment block, and I don't see how we could give approval to a bad neighbor. And as you know, as well as the declining property values and the impact of all those, you know, it would just be a detriment to the area completely. They can't even take care of what they got now.
Okay. I'm not too sure this name here. Gorit P. It's not spelled in opposition. Okay, thank you. Jake and Rita Cron, registered in opposition. If you wish to speak, sir, you got to go to the microphone. Otherwise, just register in opposition. Okay, thank you. Blanche Keith, registered in opposition, 70 Wells Lane. She's over there. Registered in opposition, thank you. Kay Fazio on Tamaran, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, thank you. Harry Schroeder, Litz Place, registered in opposition.
Harry Schroeder for Litz Place, in opposition primarily due to the traffic. And I find it really unfortunate that we only had half a presentation here. We saw the building. We haven't had any discussion about traffic. And I think for most people here, that really is the biggest issue.
Okay. Thank you. Joan Bridgeford, 60 Wellings, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition. Thank you. Fred Cressock, 70 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition. Is Fred here? No? Okay. James Karam, registered in opposition. Okay.
Yeah, Jim Karam from 70 Wellms Lane. I'll just make a couple of comments, and I noticed that Councillor Wyatt, you had to ask the gentleman twice what his address was in Winnipeg. What, were you hoping he was going to say Wellham's Lane?
No, because he didn't ask, he didn't state it at first, but anyway.
Yeah. I thought he was afraid to say. But anyway, the other comment was, I'd like the committee to put out their mind the other thing that he said about the taxes. I think it was $600,000+. Don't even think about that, because that's something he's trying to put in your mind to put this through. The other thing is the noise level. Does he realize the people that are living in the apartments how much the noise level will be? Thank you.
Thank you. Adele Korolik on Litz Place, registered in opposition. Thank you. Marie Kostick, Register in opposition. Thank you. Willems Lane. Jocelyn Stockwell, 70 Willems Lane, register in opposition. Okay.
Hi, my name is Jocelyn Stockwell. I moved to 70 Willems a week ago Saturday. Was not told about this, and guess I didn't do my homework, because the reason I moved there was because I'd lived in the country for 20 years and found this to be, after looking for 4 years for an apartment, the tranquil, perfect place. Can't believe my luck.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mrs. Stockwell. Shelley and Wes Watson, 70 Willems Lane, register in opposition. They're gone. Okay, thank you. Siegfried Benlin at Esser Avenue, register in opposition. Okay, thank you. John Reimer, 60 Willems Lane, register in opposition. Okay, thank you. Arthur Chapman, 70 Willems Lane, register in opposition. It's gone. Okay. I guess Helen Chaplin as well, register in opposition. Oh, you're here? Okay. Thank you. Marie Hellis on Kildonan Drive, registered in opposition. It was opposition and information, but okay.
I support Mr. Bruce on Kildonan Drive about the garbage trucks. They use SR Avenue and Kildonan Drive for their garbage, and like he said, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the damage that they do on the street. And they had to even put up a stop sign for this garbage truck. And now I can't even park my car because there isn't the space there because of the bylaw with the stop sign. But prior to the garbage trucks, we were able to park there. But just to slow down the garbage truck, they had to put up a stop sign. So, like Mr. Bruce said, how can you support a bad neighbor? And he can't look after this garbage situation for us.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have a question?
No.
Rhonda Clark, 18 Tamarind Drive. Rhonda, registered opposition. Thank you. Lori Olin, 60 Wells Lane, registered in opposition. Thank you. Werner Victoria, 60 Wells Lane, registered in opposition. Werner, on. Okay. Raphael Paletic, Tamarind Drive, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition? Okay, thank you. Eleanor Nickel, Tamarind Drive, registered in opposition.
No.
Okay, please.
My name is Eleanor Nickel on 70 Tamarind Drive, and I moved there 33 years ago with the understanding that there was a buffer zone before the blocks that are there right now, and that's how it would remain, and which is necessary. And also, I would like to point out, if they remove the trees from that protect the noise from the bridge, to the south side, is also a concern of mine, because when the connection comes with the bridge later on, it will create a lot of gas fumes and all that, and the trees are there to clear the air. And also the noise, and also the traffic. I'm telling you about the traffic on Wilms Lane and Henderson Highway. Because of McDonald's, people turn in there and turn into McDonald's. And one car just 2 years ago, or three, came up and didn't even see me coming straight ahead and just plowed right into me. So it's a very dangerous corner, and to have more traffic there is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. And would these owners, that want to make all that money there, would they be willing to pay us a few hundred thousand dollars for the damages that they're going to create for us? And we're supposed to take their you know, agree their thing, and they're going to damage all our properties and our money and that we worked for all our lives. So, you know, I'm very opposed to it, and I hope you are too.
Okay, thank you. Bill Kublik, Wellams Lane, register in opposition. Sorry, Kubik.
Yes, sir. Bill Kubik, 143 Wellams Lane. I am in opposition very strongly, and I'll listen to everybody's here. But just a few more comments besides the traffic that is going to create probably more than double the traffic we have. We're also going to consider the extra traffic that's going to be involved, such as there's the garbage pickup, there's the ambulance. In fact, 6 o'clock this Sunday morning, I was waking up because paramedics happen to have to pick up a person right in front of my house. We hear ambulances and fire trucks there constantly, day and night. And God forbid, I mean, these people do need the help. But, you know, when you're listening it to it day in and day out, 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up, and a person like me that's got to be woken up at 4 o'clock and got to go to work at 7:30, it makes it a very short night. The other thing that I'm worried about is what's going to happen to Wellams Lane if you do go ahead with this apartment blocks and building. That street is very weak, and it's a very small street now. After they ruin it, is the city going to replace that street at their cost, or are you going to raise my taxes to rebuild the street? Think about it. It's very serious, because that is not a street for that kind of volume of vehicles that would be going through, plus the trucks and vehicles that are going to do to build that vehicle. The more problems there is, the more people that are going to be involved. There's going to be more robberies, and I already been robbed. I've been broken into the shed with wire cutters, and all these little problems are just going to increase. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Before you go, Mr. Kubik, Councilor Bawadi has a question.
Thank you for your comments there, Mr. Kubik. Were you aware that the developer is being required to build a bus loop, and they're planning to put a bus potentially down Wellams Lane?
That was my other question. Why do we need a bus route now? We haven't had it for years. Is it to please the builder who's going to say, I'm going to build these apartments for you, I'm also going to have a bus route for you? Who requested it?
Wasn't me.
Well, the city put up signs saying that they want to develop a bus route. Somebody had to approve it. Somebody had to get the information.
Okay, thank you.
But I appreciate what you said, Mr. Brody. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Brody. Frank Brzezinski at Tamarind Drive, register in opposition.
Hi, my name is Frank Brzezinski. I'm at 1 Tamarind Drive. This bus loop is a bit of a concern, too, because as it stands, the people in the apartment blocks, when visitors come around, they just block up Wellams Lane and Tamarind. If you have a bus loop over there, what are you going to do with the street parking? Surely there's going to be an accident for people coming out of Tamarind or the other side streets. That's ludicrous. You have to think about these things a little bit before you come up with a situation like this. Thank you.
Beverly Moyer, I'm sorry, I just, Brett Bay, registered in opposition. Okay, thank you. Carolyn Bailey is 70 Wellams Lane, registered in opposition.
Carolyn Bailey, I live at 70 Wellams Lane, and I have since 1979 in the building. I don't know if you're aware of it, but they've had structural problems with the building I have been living in. They have fixed the basement twice structurally. Now, can the basement take the added pressure of when they start pounding pylons into the ground? Has anyone done a study of that building? It's not the most structurally sound one we live in. It's cracks all over the place. The other thing, too, is the safety of the children that do walk on that street, as well as the adults. And are you aware that in wintertime we have one lane of traffic on that road, not two? Yes, there's no parking along that road in wintertime, but in summertime there is. So I don't feel that a bus
will help. Nothing is going to help that street unless you make another exit, not through a residential area. I am drastically opposed to the building. I don't see the reason for it. And maybe the owners of the building would like to move in during construction of this building, because it certainly is a health issue to a lot of people that live in that area. There is dust, there will be noise, aggravation, and I think someone should make a study of that and just not go ahead and sign for approval. Thank you.
Jake DeJong, Wellams Lane, registered opposition.
Jake DeJong, 184 Wellams Lane. Our home is situated directly across of the exit from the school parking lot. If any of you want to come and watch there someday, you should. As has been stated before, and I'm probably repeating what others have said, that street is loaded with cars at pickup time. If we want to get out of our yard to go anywhere, we try and go before 3 o'clock or after 3:30. It is a miracle that there hasn't been a child killed there, because children are children. Mom and dad are waiting, or grandpa and grandma, whoever is picking them up. They dart out across the street. They're all excited. They're going home. We don't need extra traffic to come in there. The school bus turns out of the parking lot as soon as they get a chance, when there's no traffic coming. It is ridiculous to try and think of adding more. If you want more ambulances coming, put more traffic there. I'm sure they'll be picking kids up. That's the way I feel about it. I hope you think it through very carefully. The street is not wide enough for bus or anything like that. If the developer wants to go ahead with this, I do not live in the apartments. I live down the street. But there has to be access somewhere made onto Chief Pegasus Trail or something to take the traffic out of this development. You can't expect to put it on a quiet street, which, pardon me, it's not very quiet, a street that is supposed to be quiet, residential. If you ever see in the spring, when the weather comes good and the young fellas get their motorbikes out, Wellams Lane becomes a raceway. I am going to petition now, even though it's got nothing to do with the development, regardless if this development doesn't go ahead, and I certainly hope it doesn't, I would like to see at least a three-way stop put on Appleton to slow the traffic down, which would help a little bit to make it safer for the kids. I think that's about it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And I hope you use the knowledge you were given and make a good decision. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. DeJong. Gerda DeJong, also Wellams Lane, registered in opposition. Thank you. Peter and Tina Lowen, Tamarind Drive, registered in opposition. Okay, registered in opposition. Thank you. Corey Smeets, Wellams Lane, registered in opposition. Okay, registered in opposition. Thank you. John and Catherine Winter, Tamarind Drive, registered in opposition. Yeah? Okay, thank you. Adolf Reinfort of Esser Avenue, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition. Thank you. Maria McMurray of Appleton Street, register in opposition.
Hi there, Maria McMurray, 49 Appleton. Very nice pictures, except for the fact that it doesn't give us a true image of having all the buildings there. Looks nice with just the new ones. And the architect spoke of the green space in between the buildings. Well, who gets to appreciate that other than the people that actually live in the buildings? The other thing is, the government of Manitoba, or the education people of Manitoba, have deemed grade 11 and 12 phys ed important enough so that everybody has to get a credit in grade 11 and 12 in order to graduate. We're talking about green space. The idea of the grade 11 and 12 curriculum is to pick up lifetime sports, which includes things like walking, riding, so on and so forth. If we're taking away more of the green space, how are we supporting our education? So we're talking about the younger people. I know for a fact, having children that went to John Pritchard, now at River East, that both schools travel up and down Wellams Lane and use, for example, the stairs going up on the bridge as part of their cross-country workouts, their track workouts, their phys ed classes. Let's show some support. We already know the traffic's bad. If those classes are traveling up and down there, we're contradicting ourselves.
Thank you. Carolyn Elder, Appleton, registered in opposition.
I'll try to be quick, not to waste everyone's time.
No, take your time.
I wanted to let you know that in the winter, 42 Appleton Street, Carolyn Elder. In the winter, we can sit and look out our living room window, and we don't want to underestimate the impact that this would have on the environment, because what we can see in the winter is deer walking down Appleton. And what they do is, I think that they come off the river, they wander around or whatever, they wander down Appleton, they go down SR and head back to the river. I don't know that our dogs are going to be safe if they happen to get out of our backyards and run across Wellens Lane like mine does sometimes, I apologize. But, you know, the animals are not going to be safe either. And I know that they do that in the winter. I've seen it many, many times in the wintertime. So that's one point I want to say. The second thing I want to say is, why would we need a bus loop if they already have 800 people who want to rent 400 suites or whatever the numbers were? They certainly don't need to have a bus loop there to entice people to rent from their apartments. I don't know that people actually need buses to go down that, you know, two-block stretch. If we're looking to increase our physical activity, why don't we ask people to walk the two blocks? It's ridiculous to have a bus go just that distance. I'm highly opposed to that. And yes, I do have kids in the school who are walking to and from school, and I want them to be safe. I absolutely do not want a sidewalk in my neighborhood on Appleton or on Litz, because that's part of what makes our neighborhood the quiet neighborhood, where you can sit in your front yard and look and wave to the people who are walking by and say hello. And that's part of the neighborhood that we have. It's not that I want to have a sidewalk now because I've got so much traffic I have to get off the road. So those are my points. Thank you.
Thanks. Darylyn Reinfart of SR Avenue, registered in opposition. Thank you. John Danko of 70 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition. Thank you. Deborah Newman of 60 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition. Thank you. John Danko of 70 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Bengen of Wellms Lane, registered in opposition. Okay, thank you. Carolyn Alberto of 60 Wellms Lane, registered in opposition. Okay.
Good evening. I'm a little bit concerned. My name is Karen Alberto, and I'm an LPN nurse. I'm a little bit concerned about our elderly because they use that green space to walk. We talk about physical activity and keeping them active so they stay off of the health system and out of hospitals. I see them walking every day. No, they won't be able to, not with the construction. That won't happen. they'll be confined to their homes. I would like, hate to see that. Pardon me? Exactly, with the windows shut. They can't even open their windows to make sure they get good fresh air. Good point.
Okay, thank you. Reimer Clausen of 60 Wilms Lane, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, thank you. Leonard Leger of 60 Wilms Lane, registered in opposition. Thank you. Abe and Ann Hyde of 60 Wilms Lane, registered in opposition. Yeah, okay, thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Goche of 60 Wilms Lane, registered in opposition. Registered in opposition, thank you. Lori, Ed, and Phyllis Ermat of Tamaran Drive, registered in opposition. Okay.
Good evening. Several things that came up that I'd like to comment on before I read my little notes here. I just wanted to remind everybody that, of course, John Pritchard is full of elementary and teenagers, and we've seen them run around many times, cutting across, not using the lights, but cutting across, going for lunch. And that's when I phoned John Pritchard, they had 500 students, roughly, and 200 support staff. So that's a lot of people coming and going just out of that school. And they also have a lot of after-school activities and evening activities. So there's a lot of action going on almost 24/7 at that school. I would like to challenge the developer, or pardon me, the architect, who said that there were 800 people waiting for suites at Edgewood Estates. I remember last year my son was moving out, and we were inquiring at Edgewood Estates for, you know, how long the waiting list was. And even though he said it was 800 people, they said, oh, someone's moving out next week. Would you like that suite? So I think the list, this 800 people list was maybe accumulated over 20 years. People move, they die, they leave the province, they, you know, move across the city or find themselves in other locations. So I don't think that that is a really accurate list as far as how many people are really waiting for a suite, if my son could have gotten one next week. I also wanted to comment on the pothole at the corner of Wellams and Henderson Highway. They had to fill it twice, and that was just with cars and school buses. It didn't include all the buses, you know, like the city buses and the construction vehicles that would be rumbling up and down that street. And I remember the pothole was like that. It, you know, it could seriously do some damage to your car. So, and like I say, it was just cars. Okay. We have lived on Tamarin Drive for 33 years, unlike the absentee landlord of Edgewood Estates. We strongly oppose any building or zoning variance for 6070 Wellams Lane for many reasons, with safety being our primary concern. We believe the City of Winnipeg Charter criteria, namely Item B, will not be met, since the zoning agreement amendment will create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience on all our adjoining properties, namely the complete area bounded by Henderson Highway to the east, Wellams Lane to the north, Tamarin Drive to the west, and Esser Avenue to the south. This area also includes Claws Bay, Litz Place, and Appleton Street. For years, we've had extreme difficulty accessing our property due to the heavy and unsafe traffic at the Henderson Highway and Wellams Lane intersection caused by the congestion exacerbated by the following. For those who are unaware, U-turns are allowed at this intersection to allow homeowners in their neighborhood to access their homes, as well to provide access to the small Henderson Highway business establishments, namely Jeffrey's Restaurant, Riverese Dental Center, Henderson Animal Hospital, and Piston Ring. The many McDonald's drive-through and dine-in customers whose only access is through this intersection. The many school buses transporting children, school children to and from John Pritchard School, their only access is this intersection. The many parents and cars dropping and picking up their children from John Pritchard School, including after-school and evening activities. the many teachers and support staff necessary for John Pritchard School, which were 200 additional, the to and fro of the 600 or more residents of Edgewood Estates, many of them seniors and still driving, the two, three, and sometimes four-car families that are bound by this area are forced to use this intersection since it is the only ingress. The many, many cars and pedestrians entering and leaving the River East Plaza, which is made up of Safeway, Zellers, the CIBC Bank, and Domo Gas Bar using this intersection. Years ago, the traffic situation at Henderson Highway and Welms Lane was completely intolerable, i.e. not being able to cross Henderson Highway from the east or the south to access Welms Lane, even with having the green light go ahead, because Welms Lane was completely congested with cars illegally blocking the intersection and many of them waiting to enter McDonald's. And something else I just wanted to, I remembered, somewhere they said that it was a 1.5-second traffic delay as far as at that intersection, and I remember sitting through five lights to try to get onto Henderson Highway from Springfield and turn onto Welms. Five lights, so that was no way 1.5 seconds. Many complaints were made to the City of Winnipeg Police Department regarding the congestion, pointing out if we had had problems getting home, what about the fire and ambulance service accessing our neighborhood, as well as Edgewood Estates with its large population. Ultimately, agreement was reached between the City and McDonald's, and a short passing lane was constructed on the north side beside John Pritchard School property to allow traffic to enter Welms Lane and pass the McDonald's lineup. The construction of this passing lane acknowledged there was and continues to be a dangerous and heavy traffic problem, and though it was somewhat alleviated, it certainly did not completely cure it. That was years ago when there were mainly one-car families. Now it is two, three, or sometimes four cars per family traveling to and fro from this intersection. To prove our point, the traffic department has placed not one, not two, not three, but four directional black and white signs instructing drivers how to proceed through this intersection. This should make alarm bells go off. Nowhere in the city have we seen four directional signs for such a short street in a small residential area, and yet accidents are still happening. We refer council to one of their own documents, namely Exhibit 17, referred to in file DASZ 32004, addressed to Ice Gunberg, Committee Clerk, East Kildona Transcona Committee, from R.J. Hartman, P. Engineer, Traffic Assessment Engineer, Transportation Division, dated November 25, 2005. Although the subject refers to traffic on Henderson and Esther Avenue at Springfield, and it's 3 years old, it does contain relevant facts that involve our intersection. The bottom line on page 1, number 34, states the following. The intersection of Henderson Highway and Springfield Road currently operates 29% above capacity using the ICU LOS method. Would this fact not pertain to Welms Lane intersection too? On paragraph 5, page 2, number 35, states in part of the following, or adding to the northbound left turn congestion at Welms Lane. If Welms Lane was congested 3 years ago, according to the information supplied, what is it going to be like if City Council allows the building of two more towers, 15 and 21 stories, plus a bus route, as well as allowing Edgewood Estates to change their service deliveries and garbage pickup, which will be relocated from the existing Kildona Drive entry to new service entry directly off Welms Lane. And this was quoted from November 17th. Oh, wait a minute. Well, there's a gap here, but Sergeant Mello of the Winnipeg Police Department has given us statistics for Henderson Highway and Welms Lane, and they averaged 19 collisions per year in the last 5 years. Under transportation and site access, some of the findings and conclusions state that there will only be a slight increase by 1 to 2 seconds with the introduction of additional Edgewood Estate traffic. But what they don't tell you is that at the present time, we are still experiencing difficulty in accessing our turn lane at Welms and have to wait a full light due to cars proceeding straight north or turning to Chief Peguis Trail, particularly between 3 to 6 p.m. If in the developer's community and surrounding use title, they give preferential listing to the Red River and Kildonan Park golf course where there are no residential buildings, but deliberately omit the fact that there are many residential buildings to the south, namely Tamarind Drive, Welms Lane, and all the other residences with whom they are not compatible with. We also note that while an architectural drawing may look very small and attractive on paper, In no way does it actually visually translate to the massive size of an additional two more buildings being squeezed into the development. In their last drawing, the architect used the expression small footprint, and when that was turned down, now there will be two huge footprints, no longer small. In viewing the plans for the rezoning, we are appalled at the huge loss of green space. As well, they have redirected the ingress road to the site directly behind the homes on the west side of Tamarind Drive and Wellams Lane. They've also designated the back of our property a huge parking lot. How pleasant to hear slamming doors, horns beeping, exhaust, etc. We saw in the Winnipeg Free Press a comment made by the architects for the developer that there is a shortage of rental apartments in the city. If this is so, why is the city of Winnipeg allowing so many new condominiums being built? They are also allowing existing apartment blocks to be completely refurbished as condominiums. Don't solve your self-inflicted problems on the backs of the community. We have been informed by the architect's rep at that open house they had that the two new towers, quote, apartment blocks will be self-contained with in-suite dishwashers as well as washers and dryers and will have private meters. Far be it for us to judge, but it appears to be an awful like a condominium. I can read quick.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, according to the transportation and site access document provided by the developer and reviewed by the Public Works, they are in general agreement and have no objection to the zoning agreement amendment. So when, how, and where did the congestion in Wellams Lane suddenly mysteriously disappear in the last few years that Public Works commented on 3 years earlier? We've tried to access to the traffic study provided by the developer with no success. Did they provide a pedestrian traffic characteristics for the intersection as was given in Exhibit 17, page 3, stating that six elementary school children use that crossing? If they did a traffic study with the goal of paying particular attention given to the safety and movements of pedestrians at the Wellams Lane-Henderson Highway intersection, they could not even count the elementary children proceeding through that intersection. Also, we continually encounter young teenagers from John Pritchard, Chief Peguis, and River East High School totally ignoring the signalized intersection as they run from McDonald's to A&W and Quiznos for their lunches. We note the developer has provided a traffic impact study, which we are unable to access. So with great interest, we read an old traffic impact study prepared by I Can Tell You Who Later. This gives us some insight as to a traffic impact study that was being presented and which primarily deals with movement of traffic. Nowhere did we read about the pedestrian traffic or the accident rate or the safety in this intersection, which will worsen with the to and fro of an additional 331 apartment dwellers. In Exhibit 17 document at the bottom of page 4, the collision history for Henderson Highway in the summarized area is summarized as follows. Mention is made of the 41 collisions of Henderson and Springfield in the three-year period ending December 31st, 04. But nowhere do they list the traffic collisions at Henderson Highway and Wellams Lane, though they do list 7 at Henderson Highway and Wellams Lane signalized intersection, which I believe they are.
Ma'am, I'm gonna cut you off there because okay. we're now. I've been more than generous. We're almost 15 minutes here, so we've got other people.
I just want to close with one sentence. We would like the councillors to arrange for a thorough and comprehensive pedestrian traffic characteristic study, especially during before school, lunch, and after school for the Wellams Lane intersection. For spring, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been at this now for just over 2 hours. We're approximately just over halfway through those who have registered in opposition. I know us politicians are used to sitting on our derrieres for long periods of time, but I'm sure you folks aren't. So I'm sure you want to just stretch for a few minutes. So let's just take a little bit of a break to allow you to get up and stretch, and we'll come right back to it. So thank you.